went on a trip to the Redwoods, and during that trip, it just occurred to me that someone needs to do this again. Someone needs to start this up. And you know, the first thing I will say is that I'm not a teacher, I'm not a master, I'm not a guru any more than you are. You know, I haven't been in a cave for 10 years. I haven't learned how to levitate yet. Sometimes I swear, and other times I have a bad sweet tooth. All my intention is here is to create space for you to remember what you already know. Right? We already know how to be present. We already know about interconnection. We already know what we are in our center. So we just have to remind ourselves what that is. So before I begin talking about such esoteric things like meditation, what is meditation, and interconnectedness and different levels of consciousness, the first thing I will say is that words are not the truth. Words are simply metaphors for the truth. To give you an example, you can explain what the color orange looks like, but only until you see the color orange do you truly know it. You can describe in full detail what a peach tastes like, but only until you taste that peach will you truly understand what that is. And so when I use words, as we all do, whether that is spoken word or text, realize that sometimes it might resonate with you and other times it might not resonate with you. And all it is simply signposts to the truth. So let's first talk about, in essence, what meditation is. You know, there's a lot of different complex ways to approach meditation, but in essence, it's simply being present and being aware and focused. And so meditation can transcend simply sitting cross-legged in silence. It can be when you're going for a walk. It can be when you're working, when you're communicating with another human being. You know, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're tying your shoes. Every moment of the day can be done in meditation. And so, what does meditation do for us? Meditation allows us to, first of all, relax our bodies and relax our minds. Because we hold a lot of tension in our bodies, we hold a lot of attachments in our minds. And when we hold those attachments and traumas and chaos in our bodies and minds, it can bog down the computer, so to speak. When we meditate, we can enter a state of flow. And that flow state is where many creative geniuses derive inspiration, whether that is a visual artist or a musician or the mathematicians like Einstein. They get their inspiration from a state of presence, a state of meditation, and then they use their thoughts to manifest that into reality. So besides meditation, we'll also be doing some guided visualizations. And visualizations are a fun way to access the subconscious and the unconscious, as well as to reprogram that. So I want to kind of explain what consciousness is, the different levels of consciousness, and a couple different ways to look at it. So our consciousness is like little dots. This is all of our consciousnesses in this room, effectively. And then our subconscious is a little ring around each of the dots. I'll probably have to play drums while doing visualization to drown them out. And the unconscious, that's what some people might refer to as the collective library of experience. Carl Jung refers to it a lot. That's where a lot of dreams come from. That's where intuition comes from. That's the circle that is around it. And so by accessing or by visualizing, we can reprogram that. And then another way to look at it is as an iceberg. You've probably seen this for consciousness, but you have an iceberg in an ocean, and you know, the tip here is consciousness, and then this 90% of it below the ocean is the subconscious, and then the whole ocean itself is the unconscious, and that's a powerful place. It's a powerful place where you can find answers and inspiration. So another thing to talk about before entering meditation is the concept of what is existence. So there's a quote out there, I think, therefore I am. However, I would disagree with this. Rather, we are the observer. So we have the ability to observe our thoughts. Oftentimes we think we are our thoughts. Our thoughts consist of thinking and dwelling about the past. Our thoughts think of worrying about the future. Now, thought is an important tool that we have to use. Of course, we have to plan for the future and learn from the past. But oftentimes there is a lack of balance in our life where we're not in the present moment enough. And also, when we start thinking that we are our thoughts, these thought loops can happen. So thought loops where thoughts keep playing over and over in our minds. Like I said, worrying about the past, or having anxiety about the future. And by beginning to observe these patterns that we have, we can start to change those patterns. You know, there's a really great quote out there that I absolutely love. And whether you're a skeptic or a New Age believer, this is how our beliefs become our destiny. This is from Gandhi. So, your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. So, oftentimes, you know, a lot of people say, well, your thoughts and your beliefs create your reality. And sometimes we can say, well, why, you know, okay, whatever. You have to take action to do stuff. But this shows how that happens. It's a process. And so, by meditating, by visualizing, we can observe what current belief system we have, what current paradigms we have, and we can also change that. So, this is how the next hour is about going to go. We're going to enter some standard meditation, so we'll focus on breath, focus on heartbeat, we'll do a body scan, and we'll do a meditation on perspective. And then from there, we'll do a guided visualization, and each time it will be different. There's many different visualizations out there. But today, we'll do the magic garden. So I'll take you to a place in your mind of the magic garden. And then after that, we will do a simple silent meditation, about 15 to 20 minutes. And from there, we can do a retrospection. And between each of these elements, I'll ring my bowl three times. And those three times, I believe three is a powerful number because it symbolizes, it reminds us, what I call a third element. And the third element is the space between two dichotomies. So, of course, you have the past and you have the future. Past goes infinitely that way and the future goes infinitely that way, and where they meet, that beautiful, infinitely small point where they meet is the present. And you cannot define the present because it's infinitely small. You can keep zooming in and with magnifying glass, or you can do that with time. And you will never find the now. But when you are in the now, your world completely expands. Things become richer, and like I said, you derive inspiration. Your existence expands when you are in the now. Likewise, that third element can be symbolized in a lot of different other ways. For example, you have a pendulum, and so a pendulum swings from left to right, and where it changes direction from left to right, it is still, it is silent. For just a fraction of a second that you can't even see. It's infinitely small. That is a symbolization of the now. You can also look at it as equinox between winter and summer. You can look at it as the soil line between the underground and the above ground. There's many ways to symbolize these three different elements, and that third element is a powerful one. So that's why I like to do three, besides good composition.